Okay, we're all set. So this is a Root Zone LGR study group meeting on 29th of July, 2019. We have Dennis and Sarmad on the call at this time. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad. And so today we'll continue reviewing the comments received during the public comment period. Last time we left at the integration panel number comment number five. So that's the one we need to look at now. So getting right into it, the comment number five from the integration panel refers to multiple sections in terms of the characterization of the usage of the Root Zone LGR. They explain the Root Zone LGR consists of multiple XML files. That is the multiple script files, and the current writing in many places imply a single XML file. Okay, right. They continue, the normative part of the Root Zone LGR consists of multiple XML files, one for each script and common merge file. Each are used in different stages of processing an application. And okay, and they offer a reference as to have a detailed explanation. So yeah, so I review LGR 3. I think we can fine tune, tweak the language such that there is no misunderstanding as to how we characterize the Root Zone LGR. I mean, I think the way they describe the usage is that you have to use the script LGR of the Root Zone to validate a label, but then use the merge file in order to calculate the in-script and cross-script variance. I think that's my understanding. Is that correct?
Right. I guess they're saying that we should not imply in our comments that it's a single XML file. So we should just reiterate our, I guess, the recommendations so that the wording, either implies that there could be multiple files or is neutral in that way, but should not imply that there's a single XML file which needs to be processed for Root Zone LGR.
Yeah, I agree. So this is very straightforward. We just need to go through the document and tweak the language as needed. I don't think there is anything else in this comment that goes
it's
beyond
a simple
that.
Editing suggestion.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to comment number six from IP on section 10. The IP points out that the reference is misplaced. Okay, so that refers to the footnote number 10 on section 10. So I saw the footnote is at the end of the paragraph and should be earlier, in a different part of the paragraph. So yeah, I read that, I took notes. So yeah, we need to move that. So also and. Editing tweak there.
Yeah. Just while we are here on this section,
mm-hmm.
I'd also talked about this on with folks from IANA PTI, and
mm-hmm.
they suggested that we just use IANA. We shouldn't use PTI/IANA unless there's a very specific reason to use this kind of notation. So they suggested that we just simplify this to just IANA rather than PTI/IANA.
Sounds good. All right. Let me just on my choose IANA, not there you go. Thank you. All right, moving on. IP comment number 7, so section 11. Okay, this is about backward compatibility. So they advise The procedure does not ask the root-zone LGR to be backward compatible with existing TLDs. However, it does say that if some delegated TLDs are not valid under the LGR when published, then they should be grandfathered. The IP, the GPs, and the community have been active in verifying these and should not and should continue to do so. The recommendation should be amended to reflect this. So, I mean, they're not wrong that the LGR does not ask for backward compatibility, but this backward compatibility, we draw this from SAC 060. I don't have in handy, so let me open SAC 060, which one is talks about Yeah, so recommendation 6 of SAC 060 calls for backward compatibility. So reading verbatim from recommendation 6, it says, because the removal of a delegation from the root zone can have significant non-local impact, new rules added to a LGR must, as far as possible, be backward compatible so that new versions of the LGR do not produce results that are incompatible with historical existing activations. So this is the context of recommendation 11 of the report. I don't think it creates a...
Yeah, there are actually a couple of comments here I would like to make.
Yes, Sarma, please go, by all means.
So I think there are at least two, three things which I think need to be tweaked. I guess we're not... So first thing is that they're talking about backward compatibility as well as grandfathering. They are saying that the backward compatibility thing doesn't come from root zone LGR procedure. So switching back to our recommendation, I don't think we talk about grandfathering, which they do. So we need to first, for example, think about whether we need to recommend anything around grandfathering for some things which are not backward compatible. So that's one point. The second point is that, as they suggest, the procedure doesn't support backward compatibility. And our motivation is drawn from SAC 60's recommendation 6. So in our recommendation, I think we should probably refer to SAC 60 for when we talk about backward compatibility for our motivation for this recommendation, just to clarify the source of this recommendation and I guess to make it stronger. So that's a second thing. And then I guess we add a third thing where we say that where there is some issue with backward compatibility, the GP and IP should raise this as part of the process during public comment. And I think that's a valuable suggestion. They don't disagree with it. And that's so we are suggesting this as sort of part of the process. They acknowledge they already take care of it. But in any case, I think currently what's happening is that this is taken care of by the IP, and what we are actually suggesting is that it really should be taken care of by the GP. So I think there is still value in what we're saying. So there's sort of those three portions. One, I guess we are talking about two different portions each. So we need to sort of bring those comments together and have those three portions, I guess, more clearly articulated with the relevant references.
Thank you, Sarma. Yep. That's a sound advice. So, yep, let's go for it. All right. So, let's move on. And that was... That's it for the IP comments. So let's move
Yep.
on to the next section. Yep. So those from the registered stakeholder group. So number one, the scope. Okay, so I think we discussed this. Yeah,
sorry,
so this is talking about this. Yep.
Could you please, I couldn't gain access to the screen share. I can't
oh.
see what's the yeah, yeah.
Hi, this is Alan. How are
you?
Yeah, we were not, I assume you just joined. We kind of started, yeah. All right, we'll share the screen. I can share the screen.
I can try to share if you'd like, or.
Yeah, sure, Sarmat, please. If you can share it, please do, go ahead.
Okay, I can only share one, not both. So
that's okay. That's the comments.
Let's see if I can share the desktop. Would that allow me to share everything? Let's see. What do you see?
I can see, yep, side by side, the our report and the comments.
Okay.
Right. Perfect now.
Yeah, sorry about that, Desalin. We were into it and we missed to see if people were joining. So, Desalin, so just for your benefit, we went through all the comments from integration panel. So now we're moving to the next session. Those comments, what you see on the screen from the registry stakeholder group.
Yeah. I was following you. I just joined 10 minutes ago.
Okay. All right. So number one, it's about scope. And what the registry stakeholder group intends with this comment is just to draw attention to SAC 060 recommendations 3 and 4, I believe. Mostly 3, in which SAC establishes or advises that the rules of the root zone cannot be used for higher levels without due consideration, right? So I think that's the gist of that comment.
So how would you want to respond to that? I guess there's no changes in our draft, but do you still want to draft a suggest a response to the comment itself for the staff report?
I think we only can say as a study group is that what they are referring is a true statement of SAC 60. As a study group, I think we don't have any, I mean, in the context of our scope of analysis, we don't have anything else to say, just to say, yep, this is a true statement. That's it. I don't know, Desalin, do you have any comments or you, Sarmat?
This is Sarmat, so we could acknowledge, sorry, go ahead, Desalin.
Yeah, I haven't seen in our document which says the recommendations are applicable for second levels and hazards apart from the root zone. I don't see any. I'm not sure whether we are required to respond to this question, to this comment. Sorry.
So it's not a question, it's more like a statement, and because it was a comment to the report, we can ignore it. I mean, we could ignore it, but that would be inappropriate, I think. So it's not a question, right? Again, it's a statement, and the study group, based on the scope of our analysis, which is the usage of the root zone LGR, we can either just acknowledge this statement, support or disagree, or, you know, So that's kind of the way to respond. So
this is Sarma. Yes, I was actually going to suggest that we thank them and acknowledge this input and say that I guess root zone LGR discussion is this is maybe beyond the scope of this current work, or however you want to I guess react to that, because their comment is not directly relevant to our discussion, I guess, at this time at least.
Correct. Yes. I think we just go that way. We acknowledge. It's a true statement, and we move on, because there is no impact to the report itself. So the next section, the next comment number two. So section 3.1, and this is about the synchronized TLDs. Okay. So what it says is should be considered for alignment with, so any such variations, that's the last part of 3.1. They are quoting that any such variation should be considered for alignment. The research argument is referring this issue to the variant TLD framework, because the roots on LGR medically is two or more labels. Yes. Okay. So this was upon a reflection of roots on LGR is right. Basically, it declares to a label that is valid and two or more labels as variants. As far as how you deal with those variants, how do you manage those, that's outside the scope of the Rootsong LGR. And what thing it was suggested here in section 3.1, it's that the fact that what it's known as variants today, for example, the Chinese, Hong Kongese, and Taiwanese delegations are variants. I think there is no denial of that. They were just not called variants. It has nothing to do with the roots on LGR. So the way I think 3.1 is crafted, it's slightly outside what the roots on LGR is meant for. It's like 3.1 is suggesting that something beyond what the roots on LGR will declare these two TLDs variants. Any comments or reactions?
I mean, so this is Sarmad.
I mean, just one more point, Sarmad. So I think the key thing is the last part of the recommendation, right? I think we don't disagree with the first part, but the last part, such variation should be considered for alignment. What exactly do we mean for alignment now that we're reflecting on this? With the roots on LGR, right?
Yes, of course. So I think what we are trying to say is that if there are two variants which were delegated, which was the case, I guess, I think the suggestion was that they should be declared as variants, or will they be grandfathered as not variants? So it is not about, I guess, variant management mechanism. It's actually about definition of two labels as variants or not variants. So in this case, we have the situation where there are, for example, two sets of two labels, one for China and one for Taiwan, which, you know, based on eventually what the Chinese LGR, Chinese GP finalizes as their LGR, we may been a situation where we have two delegated labels, which the LGR, root zone LGR says are variants, but they are not declared as variants in let's say, INR record. So what do we do with it? There are two ways we can handle it. One way is that we grandfather them as non-variants, just because that's they've been like that before. Or the second is that we redefine them as variants using the root zone LGR definition in case that's what root zone LGR recommends. So I guess currently what we were saying was maybe they need to realign with the root zone LGR. So we're suggesting that they be declared as variants. I guess there are two questions. You know, should we make such a recommendation? That whether they should be aligned or grandfathered. Or second is that we can say that the policy should be deal with it. You know, I personally think this is something which is related to root zone LGR. It is also obviously certainly related to policy, but there is a technical aspect here because we have two labels which are not aligned with the root zone LGR definition per se.
So my reaction to that, still, when you talk about that, yes, the root zone LGR most likely, or you know, with high confidence, is going to declare, for example, the China, Zhongguo strain, simplified and traditional Chinese as variants, right? The root zone LGR, I mean, the Han script will declare those strains as variants of each other.
Yeah.
How is that managed today? Wouldn't that fall under all the recommendations and considerations that are built on the TLD variant management framework, right?
So, no, actually, what I'm trying to say is that everything which is defined in the variant management mechanism will only apply to these strings if these strings are declared as variants. Currently, they're not declared as variants.
Yeah, okay, so hear me out. They are not declared as variants, but once the root zone LGR is defined and then you have the management framework also adopted, right, as policy, then you have to, everything that is existing has to align some way.
Right, but so this can align in two ways, the combination. Right? I guess that's what I'm saying. There are two ways. One way is that we redeclare them as variants, and the other is that we accept them as non-variants and grandfather them.
No, but okay, so let me rephrase. So what you're saying is that, but we do need the two pieces of work. The roots on LGR is one, and the management framework as the other one. And then we, having both of those work products, we need to do something with existing stuff, whether we grandfather or we force an alignment. Or are you saying that it's only the roots on LGR that defines what it needs to be done?
So yes, there are two layers, and then there is this third thing which needs to happen. I guess that's what we are saying. Root zone LGR is a basic definition of what strings are, you know, whether they're variants or not. So that's just a mathematical operation. We understand that. Policy, which is going to be developed, will define how to handle root zone LGR. But then we have this middle layer, which is some history, so for example, there is the first statement or recommendation in the root zone IDN variant TLD management mechanisms is that root zone is the only source of variant TLDs, defining variant TLDs and valid TLDs. That's the first recommendation. However, if that first recommendation applies, this becomes an outlier, this situation. And I guess the question is, how do we address this outlier? In case it becomes an outlier, how do we address that outlier? And basically, currently, I guess we are saying that this is something which needs to be addressed. We can stop there and say that this is something which needs to be addressed, because it's not addressed by the variant management mechanism or the root zone LGR. So there is a third thing which needs to be addressed, and we stop there. Or the other option is that we say that this needs to be addressed, and our recommendation is that this is how it should be addressed technically. So depends, you know, it's up to us to decide, or up to the working study group to decide where they should stop. Maybe we should stop at the point where we say that this is a third thing which may need to be addressed, and then leave it to the policy to decide how to address it.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, I think more tend to agree on the latter. Yep. But I think we're on the same page. Yes. All right. Yeah, we'll craft some language in order to address that and just make it clear what we intend to do. Well, what our intention is with that report. All right, moving on. We are now at comment number 3 from the Registered Stakeholder Group, section 5. Okay, so this is support on option A, which is basically the also happens to be the study group's recommended approach, right? Kind of disappointed that we didn't hear anything from the Supro PDP, but yeah. But option A, it is our recommended approach. I don't think anything else here to say. The silence, Armat, any comments, reactions?
This is the selling. I think they are supporting our proposal or option A. So as opposed to the registry group, we have last time seen that the IP has recommended to eliminate, I think, option B. So I think this comment is, they are expressing their support of our option A. So we may not have to say anything.
Thank you, Salim.
Right, this is Sarmad. So this is in option A, we do actually have a question which is sort of hanging at the end of this option. I'm not sure how we would want to close that then, because unfortunately we've not really received any feedback on that question within option A. We just leave it to GNSO to decide. So should we still raise that question, or should we review that and not sure how we address that, or what's the best way to put this question across to GNSO? I guess the reason what I'm trying to say is that we actually have a hanging sentence or a hanging thought at the end of this recommendation, and that sort of leaves things slightly incomplete. Just pointing that out.
Right. No, and you're right. So let's put some context into that, put that question aside for a bit, and let's play this process out. We finalize the report, and the report will be presented to, is it the GNSO or the ICANN board? That's a question for you.
So this goes back to ICANN board, and I think the request, I think the context is that if ICANN board considers this relevant and reasonable, they would, it would eventually need to be considered by GNSO and CCNSO for the policy development process, right?
Okay.
So eventually it is going to go in that direction based on board consideration, of course.
Right. Okay. So I think if not all, but most of us in the study group, we tend to agree with option A, because that's the most that aligns with the principles that we define for our work But of course, we also acknowledge that there are certain practical issues with it. So I think it would be fair for us to raise those questions because we cannot answer those as a study group. Those are going to be that decision will impact, of course, certain policies and rules and how applicants will be able to apply or appeal for they apply for TLD and how that's going to resolve. And I think it is fair to say that we need to put this question in front of the SUPRO PVP because they are the ones that need to will basically have to deal with that in the application guidebook. So thinking of that, yes, Armand, I'll continue with my train of thought.
Okay, thank you. So a couple of comments. First of all, I think this is, though generally true, we need to consider this in the context of also which of the, for example, scripts are going to be integrated. And, you know, if there are scripts for which we are expecting TLD applications, then it becomes a, you know, this is still something which we need to see from a practical dimension as well. So for example, currently we are missing Chinese, Latin, Japanese, Korean, many of the major scripts still need to be integrated. And if some of these are not integrated and we get 20 or 30 GTLD applications for that script, is this the best mechanism to proceed? How do we, maybe it is, I think, that we hold, the LGR procedure certainly says that we hold see what happens. But in any case, I think we do need to look at maybe a few scenarios on what is integrated and what is not integrated. So that's one thing. The second thing is I think there is still some interesting discussion in option B. And, I guess a consideration is that do we need to throw that away in the final version or maybe still keep it perhaps as an appendix in case eventually the SUPRO decides that they think option A is not a feasible option, then at least there's something there which can be used as option B if that's eventually what they decide. Because it's not something we can decide, of course, right? If it's a study group, it's not study group's call. It's eventually SUPRO's call on how they will procedurally manage this. Just a couple of thoughts for all of you to consider. And just also noting that Harsha has joined.
Thank you, Sarman. Starting from the latter, I agree. We need to keep those options as an appendix just to, save that discussion rationale on record. And that would be great to have as an appendix. And there are certain, impacts in each of the options. So, let's have that analysis based on the existing scripts that are integrated into Roots on LGR and see whether that changes or make us adjust our determination. Dasalim, please go ahead. You have your hands up.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. This is Dasalim. I would like to ask two questions here, or I would like to raise two issues for consideration. So, option A I think it's better to have option A remain intact. And then based on the suggestion of IP or the concern that IP has raised, it's better to put aside option B. Why I say this is the final deliverable, the recommendation, it will be, I think, first addressed to the board. And then it's afterward, the board will contact the GENESO to frame some policy frameworks for these recommendations to be applied. So my question here is the ultimate recommendation, the final recommendation that we're developing right now, will it be first forwarded to the ICANN board or to the GENESO?
So, Salin, this report will go to the ICANN board first.
Yeah.
If they agree with it, they like it, they will adopt it, and they will defer it to the appropriate SO organization. Well, in this case, it's going to be the GNSO and CCNSO, because this is agnostic to GTLDs or CCTLDs, right? It's for all TLDs. So all these two naming supporting organization will need to somehow incorporate this knowledge to their application processes.
Okay, correct. So in that case, how do we balance the issues, the concerns that the IP has raised regarding including option B?
So what they are stating that they disagree with it. Right. And as a study group, we also do not, I mean, we have, I study it and we analyze it. We have, put a framework in case option A is not an option, for the practical issues. Right. We talk about, option A is our recommended approach. It's the one that most aligned with the LGR procedure. But, right, in the case you have a registry operator to be applying for a TLD that is not, the script is not yet supported, so how long will you wait, or how long will you want to have this applicant to wait for the script to be integrated into the routine LGR? I mean, and you, the Salin, you have experience with GPs, right? So how long has it took to for the your GP to get form and go through the analysis, the script analysis work, iterations of having a LGR proposal and then integrated, based on the history of other generation panels that have gone through the whole process, it has taken from 3 months to up to 5 years, if not more, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a range of 3 months to 5 years, where do you draw a line, or as an applicant, I'm not sure how the next round of GTLDs will work, but I mean, if it works as the past round, it opens and closes in a certain amount of time, right? Mm-hmm. So if that script is not integrated in that amount of time, then what the applicant, I mean, right, the applicant has to drop or has to, the application needs to be rejected. So those are the questions that we are talking about, right? The practical limitations of option A. And then option B may be a way forward until you establish, I mean, you have the majority of scripts within the LGR, and then the LGR becomes, the one and only way to do it. So depending on the context, that's what Sarma was suggesting, right? Let us put this into context and see the reality in which this will live. Just put it that way. I think that's an analysis that we need to do, And again, realizing and acknowledging the practical limitations of the different options.
Mm-hmm. Instead of having option B as it is, so wouldn't it be good to suggest that option A has some practical limitations, so it needs addressing? So just putting high-level statements there, wouldn't it be enough? Because we have said repeatedly that where the study group mandate is to deal with most technical issues. So somehow the limitations related to the option A they require some policy level commitment. So can we put it that way? So option A has practical limitations. So to address the limitations, some policy matters needs to be dealt with. That's how I see it.
Hello, this is Ramad. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Dennis, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Well, are you just thinking? There was nobody speaking. I was just wondering.
Yeah, sorry. I was speaking to the mute, to the mute phone. I was saying to the SLM, yes, we need to take this all in and adjust how we want to present Section 5 on the final report, but capture all these options and the implications of each one of those, so that policy can take care of that.
Okay, I agree.
All right. So that took care of registry stakeholder group comments. Now moving on to we have 8 minutes to go, but some of these are, the following questions are from the individual Mark Blanchett. He is from the IP, so few comments here as noted in yellow are the same as the integration panel. So we can go quickly through these so that I think we can finish today. Going through these and then start drafting the responses and work on the final report. All right, so first one, section 3.2, same as IP. I just to go through this real quickly. It says, to his knowledge, self-identified variants have not been delegated, therefore they should not be taken into account. Instead, routine LGR should be only, okay. So I think we agree, he's not saying any new information that we don't know. All right, let's quickly move on to section 4.1. And section 4.1, okay, conformance with ID. Okay, so this is this is when a label that is deemed this is the scenario where the script is supported by the rules on LGR, but a label is deemed invalid because of certain either code points not being incorporated or there is a whole level evaluation rule or a contextual rule that is not captured. So basically section one, it says in the context, well, it contends that IDNA 2000 is not enough precise. IDNA 2000A provides rules that are applied to the Unicode properties. Therefore, the assignment of if a component is disallowed or unassigned depends on which Unicode version it is applied. So that is true. Blanchet suggested modification to and apply for label containing any disallowed or unassigned component per IDNA applied to the most recent support Unicode. Okay. Yeah. So, and this, I think, begs a question, and maybe Sarma, you know, is the Roots on LGR, will the Roots on LGR be updated to the most recent version of Unicode? Will it be parallel to the version of Unicode?
So, I think as far as IGAN side of it and IP side of it is concerned, what we will do is we are planning to issue a new version of MSR, which will be updated to the latest version of Unicode, relevant version of Unicode per the LGR procedure. And then it is really up to the GPs to see whether they want to upgrade or not. So, and I guess GPs even now can go for it. Currently, the MSR is based on version 6.3. However, I think the next version of MSR will likely to, IP is likely to move that to version, I guess a later version. They'll have to decide which version they think is most appropriate following the stability sort of requirement for LGR, rules on LGR. But in any case, once that is done, or even before that is done, IP's generation panels can certainly propose a change. And IP obviously considers that and updates the MSR accordingly. So I would actually say it is really up to the generation panels. And generation panels may decide to keep the current version. They may want to change it or update it to include some other additional code points from later versions. So there's, it is not necessary. So in a way, I can, or I guess IP cannot really update the LGR. It's really the generation panel and up to them to do it, and it's even possible today.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So I think there are some things that we can capture here to there. Yeah. Versioning of the Unicode, it's certainly something that need to be considered, and we just make sure in the presence of this Unicode version, make sure that our recommendations are, you know, aligned with that, or take that into account as well. Okay, so move on to number three, section five. Well, yeah, it's a section five. Mark disagrees with option B, so which is same as IP3. Got it. All right. So nothing more there. Next comment number four is same as the IP comment number four. Number of delegated variants remains a very significant potential problem. Again, the number of variants we discussed is also in our last call. So it's going to be up to policy to decide how that's going to be dealt with. All right. Next comment, number five, in multiple section. Okay, yeah, it's a comment about how the roots on LGR it's used, right? It's not just one single XML file, but rather a multiple scripts and then a merge file. So we need to account for that when we refer to the roots on LGR. And finally, comment number six, which is about section 10. Yeah, it's about it's about the footnote, which already took note of that. And with that, that's it. All right. Any comments? I think we can draft a response.
So as next steps, Dennis, would you want us to maybe draft tentative responses to each of the comments and share that back, or would you want to do it directly? How would you want to proceed? We're happy to do that if you'd like us to do it.
Thank you, Sarman. Yeah, yes, please. Please, you, Pitinam, please have a first stab at it, at the response, while I focus on the final form of the report, if that we can do that.
Okay, sure. So we'll draft based on the discussions here in the previous call and this call. We'll draft a version and share comments back for each of, study group's responses back on each of these comments. And then maybe in the next meeting, we can just start discussing the responses and fine-tune the language and finalize it. And then we're ready to post that staff report. In parallel, of course, as you said, we also need to update the and finalize the version of the recommendations for final posting and, I guess, eventually hand that back to the ICANN board. Thank you.
Yep. Sounds like a plan. All right. Any other business, last comments, observations? Okay. Hearing none, I adjourn this meeting. We'll reconvene next week, same time, and we'll have the draft comments for us to review and then to publish it and while we work on the final form of the this report. All right. Well, thank you for joining.
Okay,
have
you.
A good day and rest of the week. See you next Monday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.